Hey, how you doing? Good morning, and welcome to an ever-so-sexy Valentine's Day edition of The Scoreboard with Hugh Burrell on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Just to get you in the mood, I poured us some hot cocoa, whipped us up some salami and onion sandwiches. I'm also wearing my bear paw fuzzy slippers and that Spider-Man onesie that I know you like so much.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Happy Valentine's birthday to Drew Bledsoe, who turns 48 today. Now, you may remember Bledsoe as the New England Patriots quarterback before some guy named Tom Brady. Oh, yeah. On the show today, Freddie Anderson returned to the Leafs net against the Stars.
On the first shot on goal, have given up the opening goal.
Well, not only did the Leafs lose a game last night, they lost another player to injury.
It's a knee injury that's not going to be short-term.
Big night for St. Louis Blue in their first game since the Jay Bouwmeester scare.
Zephyr for the hat trick scores!
The Astros apologized, sort of.
I wish I had said more.
Astros owner is clueless.
This didn't impact the game.
The Jays ace speaks through an interpreter.
There's excitement overall in here.
PG-13 leaves the Clippers game with a bad hammy. All-Star weekend tips off.
Basketball, give me, give me, give me the ball because I'm gonna go get it!
And the Biebs hits the ice with Jimmy Fallon.
Look, head-to-head, stick to stick.
Don't say that.
Oh, yeah. All this and more, straight ahead on The Scoreboard
with Hugh Burrell.
Yeah. Can I have this dance? I mean, it is Valentine's Day after all. It was a sight for sore Leaf fan eyes last night. Freddie Anderson back between the pipes for the blue and white against the Dallas Stars. Anderson had missed the past four games with a neck injury. Pre-game, Freddie said he was ready.
I'm ready to play, so that's really all I'm going to say. I don't want to go into specifics, but yeah, good to go.
Well, maybe Anderson was good to go, but the rest of his Leafs teammates weren't. Just 80 seconds into the game.
Gurionov was in front of the net, but they couldn't get him the puck, and the Leafs now trying to get it out, and Gurionov steals. He goes to the net, scores! Denis Gurionov steals the puck along the near boards, and the Maple Leafs again on the first shot on goal have given up the opening goal, and it's 1-0 Dallas.
Leafs didn't have a shot on goal in this game for the first 10 and a half minutes, and if that wasn't bad enough, forward Andreas Janssen left the game in the first with what could be a serious knee injury. So the Stars scored early in the first. They also scored early in the second.
The puck comes free and is pushed out at center. Up on the left wing side, driving the net now is Foxa. Scores! First shot of the first period, 1-0. First shot of the second period, 2-0. And the Stars have jumped out in front with an insurance marker.
Sensing a bit of a pattern here. 2-0, Big D. Leafs in a funk, and not the good funky funk kind. They need to wake up, and nothing wakes up a team like several sharp blows to the face.
And now we've got a fight here between Jamie Oleksiak and Kyle Clifford, and they're throwing some haymakers at one another, and down goes Oleksiak. First fight in a Leaf uniform for Kyle Clifford.
He gets the decision for sure. Maybe that lit a fire underneath the Maple Leafs, because midway through the second, they strike on the power play. And you'll never guess who scored.
Barry at the near point to Marner again. Looking in front with a pass, and that was blocked. Now Matthews can't get a puck to settle down to get a shot. Barry a drive. That's just wide. Here's a chance for Matthews again. Shooting scores! Number 41 for number 34, and it's 2-1.
Yeah, Matthews' 41st of the season moves him into a tie for the league lead with the Bruins' David Pastrnak. So remember how I told you that the Stars scored early in the first and then early in the second? Guess what? They score early in the third.
Draw one by Toronto, fed back of the net, but then off a stick it comes back to the blue line. Trapped there by Robertson with a pass in front of the net, they're going to score! A loose puck springs across the goal crease, and Tyler Seguin is there, the Brampton native, to fire it into a gaping cage to restore the two-goal lead for the Dallas Stars.
Seguin's first goal in 17 games, 3-1 Dallas. Now, it stayed that way until late in the third period. Freddie Anderson on the bench in favor of the extra attacker. It pays off.
Nylander traps. He reverses it to the near side. Matthews traps. Matthews back to the blue line to Barry. Barry over to Marner. Marner mishandles the puck but gets it again. Sends it to the net. Backhand scores! Zach Hyman makes it 3-2 with 1:19 to play.
Hyman 17th of the season, third in his past two games, but that's as close as the Leafs could get.
Here's Tavares to take the draw. Scrummed, puck goes to the near boards, and that's going to do it. They'll take it to the wall and pin it, and there's the horn that ends the game.
Well, some nights you walk away from the rink and you say it was a close game and we deserved better. I don't know if this game would go in that category.
3-2 Dallas, the final Stars avenge a loss on home ice to the Leafs just a couple of weeks ago. Coach?
Real tough team to play against when you're chasing the game. It was the opposite. We were down in Dallas. We played with the lead virtually the whole game all the way through, and they had to open up, so we had lots of chances and lots of good things happening for us. So it was a much different hockey game. And we spot them the lead here, and really at the start of every period, you spot them goals like that, and it's going to make it real tough.
So to borrow a phrase from the previous coach, Austin Matthews says his team has to do a better job of starting on time.
It came out really fast, and just a couple careless plays in both periods, and obviously they got behind us there with their speed and their skill, and they're able to capitalize. So obviously that's an area of concern and something that we'd like to clean up, because I think starting games is obviously extremely important and something that we've kind of been struggling with throughout the year.
As for Freddie, well, he only faced 19 Dallas shots.
Yeah, they came pretty hard on those turnovers, but that's their game, I think. We knew that coming in, but I felt pretty good. Would like to come up with a save early on in those two periods, especially, but even in the third. But yeah, just obviously would have been nicer come up with a win.
Now, as for that injury to Andreas Janssen, the coach isn't at all optimistic.
We'll know more tomorrow, but it's a knee injury that's not going to be short term.
Leafs are in Ottawa tomorrow night to face a Sens team that has won just three of their past 19 games, but one of those wins was a 3-2 decision over the Coyotes last night. Before last night's game, the Leafs officially closed the book on Michael Hutchinson, waiving the goaltender. Hutchinson the odd man out with the arrival of Jack Campbell. Hutch was 4-9-1 with a save percentage of .886 with the Leafs this season. Now, there is some good news concerning the Leafs, and it has to do with what happened against Philadelphia last night.
Lays it across off the boards. Roppel, his shot fought off. The rebound scores! Nick Aubé-Kubel in the right place at the right time. Tough night for Bobrovsky. 3-0 Philadelphia.
Yeah, the Panthers goalie Bob getting the hook after allowing three goals on nine shots in the first period. 6-2 Flyers over Florida. That loss keeps the Panthers two back of the Leafs for third spot in the Atlantic. Well, don't look now, but the Tampa Bay Lightning are snapping at the heels of the Bruins for top spot in the Atlantic.
Pass stolen, Yanni Gord. Gord the other way. Gord has a short-handed breakaway. Gord stepping in front. Score! That's two games in a row for Yanni Gord. He scores short-handed. It's 2-1 Lightning with 6:59 left in the second.
Lightning with a 3-1 victory over the Edmonton Oilers to give them 81 points, just a point back of the Bruins. This was a game that saw Oilers forward Zach Cassian deliver a kick to the chest of Lightning defenseman Eric Chernak in the first period. Post-game, Cassian explained himself.
He was holding my leg. I think I just tried to reactionary, try to get him off me, kick him off me, just try to get my foot loose.
Did you feel like you kicked him?
Like kicked him?
Yes.
No. If I kicked him hard, I think he would have flew back, no?
And react.
Yeah, or the ref would have called a penalty or something. Yeah. No, I was just trying to pull my leg out of the thing and then just get up and get moving.
That sounds legit. St. Louis Blues were in Las Vegas last night playing their first game since watching teammate Jay Bouwmeester collapse on the bench in a game against the Ducks. Blues forward Zach Sanford came into the game with just 8 goals on the season. He left with 50% more.
And now a draw and score! Zach Sanford ripped it home! Perron will feed it out high. Wrist shot from Bortuzzo. Saint-Subban rebound score! Zach Sanford has two for St. Louis. And the wrist shot for Petrangelo and Subban there again! Sanford for the hat trick scores! Parayko in behind the case, center and score! Tipped in down low! Sanford was in front!
Were you counting? Zach Sanford with not one, not two, not three, but four goals. That's amazing. It's too bad it still wasn't enough to beat the Golden Knights.
Lays it off for Marchessault. Cross to Pacioretty. Right to center. Gunnarsson blocked it. Pacioretty saves. Rebound score! Jonathan Marchessault on a power play for a 6-5 overtime win.
Vegas snapping off the two-game slide with that 6-5 victory. Ducks also playing their first game since the Bomeister incident, hosting the Calgary Flames.
Final minute of play in the first. Flames back the other way. Jankowski scores! Mark Jankowski, after a great chance at the other end, goes awry, makes it 4-0 Calgary.
Flames go on to win it 6-0. Cam Talbot stopped 44 shots for the shutout. Another shutout in Music City, where the Predators blank the Islanders. Getting three goals from Craig Smith certainly helped.
Smith dug the puck back. Throws a tough angle shot on, and he scores! Craig Smith from an almost impossible angle in tight.
Grimaldi put it right in front, and Smith scores! The battle leads to the goal.
Yossi picking up the puck, centering it, and the shot and the score! Yes, it's hat-trick time for Craig My Hair Is On Fire Smith.
That's an odd nickname, My Hair Is On Fire. I guess it's better than My Pants Are On Fire. Oh, no, those are the Astros. Anywho, 5-0 Predators the final. Juuse Saros stopping 31 for the goose egg. Caps were on the road in Colorado. No G's for Ovi, but a W for his team.
Capitals, lots of pressure here. From Jensen on the outside, they tip, they score! Jensen from the right point! And Washington has taken a 3-2 lead here in Colorado!
It's actually TJ Oshie getting credit for that goal with just over 2 minutes to go in the third. Alex Ovechkin hasn't scored in three games for most players. That's no big whoop, but this is the Great Eight we're talking about, still stuck on 698. Blue Jackets and Sabres went to overtime. Captain Jack with a nice dish for the winner.
He'll bring it right back in. Eichel, let it go in the backhand. Got it in front. They'll score! Oh, my! Victor Olofsson, welcome back! Western New York welcomes you, Victor Olofsson, on a beautiful pass from the captain.
Victor Olofsson, two goals, including the overtime winner in the Sabres 4-2 victory. Olofsson had been out since January 2nd with a lower body injury. You got to be careful with those. Boston Bruins full-time defenseman and part-time office tower Zdeno Chara has been fined $5,000 for cross-checking the Habs' Brendan Gallagher in the face on Wednesday night. Some are complaining that the punishment does not fit the crime, but the $5,000 is the maximum allowable fine under the collective bargaining agreement. Okay, let's move on to the diamond. It was a day of apologies for the cheating Houston Astros over their sign-stealing scheme.
We're sorry.
I'm not sure if the Astros are apologizing for what they did or they're just sorry that they got caught. First up in the old sorry train, third baseman Alex Bregman.
Do you regret it? Do you regret the sign-stealing scheme?
I am sorry. I'm remorseful. I regret it.
Do you wish that you guys hadn't done it?
Yes.
Moving around the infield, second baseman Jose Altuve says he feels bad.
We feel bad, and you know, I'm not gonna say to you that it was good. It was wrong. You know, we feel bad. We feel remorse. Like I said, the impact in our fans, the impact in the game. We feel bad.
Astros ace Justin Verlander also issued a mea culpa.
I wish I had said more. Looking back, I can't go back. I can't reverse my decision. Like I said, I wish I had said more and I didn't, and for that I'm sorry.
What did you say?
That's between myself and my teammates.
Sure. All right, so the Astros players are sorry. I guess. Not sure if we can say the same for Astros owner Jim Crane, who was asked if the sign-stealing helped determine the outcome of the 2019 ALCS against the Yankees, a series which the Astros won in seven games.
The Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Unbelievable. Yankees reliever Aroldis Chapman, who gave up the home run to Altuve, which sent the Astros to the 2019 World Series, well, he begs to differ.
I disagree with that. You know, when you know the signs and you know what's coming, especially in, at this level of baseball, you know, we have some of the most talented baseball players in the world, you know, and as hitters, if they have an edge and advantage knowing what's coming, it's just going to make them stronger. You know, was that the sole reason why they won the World Series? I don't know. But what I can say is that when you have an advantage like that, it's definitely going to make you a stronger team.
Despite all his apologies yesterday, this isn't going away anytime soon. The 2008 Cleveland Indians set a modern-day baseball record when their batters were hit 103 times. We can expect the Astros to break that record this year. Players around the league are furious. In fact, on Tim and Sid last night, MLB and Fox Baseball reporter Ken Rosenthal says he's never seen anything like this.
The strongest, direct, angriest comments I have heard in my 30-plus years doing this. I've never heard players talk like this. So that shows you the depth of anger with what has gone on.
Ouch. We'll give the last word in this to Stephen A. Smith, who, despite the apologies, isn't letting the Astros off the hook.
Let's understand something. That doesn't mean you should be acknowledged as champions. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be stripped of your World Series crown. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be excoriated and sullied for arguably the rest of your career for what you did. That championship trophy that's in Houston is bogus. They're not champions. Now, I'm not saying the Yankees are champions or the Dodgers are champions, but y'all behinds ain't no damn champions. You're cheaters.
I don't know what excoriated means, but it sounds bad. All right, enough with the cheating stuff. Blue Jays ace Hyunjin Ryu met with reporters yesterday, speaking through an interpreter. Toronto's four-year, $80 million man said he's eager to get things going.
Today was the first day of practice, and it was a good atmosphere. I was very excited. I'm glad that I got my first bullpen session out of the way. It went really well. So I'm excited. There's excitement overall in the air.
Well, like us, manager Charlie Montoyo can't wait to see Ryu pitch.
I'm excited about that kid, you know. And I was really excited when we got him, of course, and he was one of the best pitchers last year in baseball. So when we got him, I was excited. You know, we get an ace. He's an ace, you know. So what that means, every time he takes him out, we get a chance to win. And that's all you can ask as a manager and as a team.
Can't wait. Coming up, the NBA All-Star Weekend tips off. PG-13 status for that game is up in the air after an injury to his hamstring. Tigers on the prowl at the Genesis. And Justin Bieber and Jimmy Fallon hit the ice and hilarity ensues. Stick around. It is the most glamorous weekend of the NBA schedule. All-Star Weekend in Chicago. Yes, rarely has so much money been in one place at one time. Pascal Siakam, Kyle Lowry, Nick Nurse, and his coaching staff repping the Raps and are on Team Giannis. Tonight, it's the Celebrity All-Star Game with the likes of Bad Bunny, Quavo, and Ronnie 2K. Yeah, I don't know either, so don't ask me. That's followed by the Rising Stars Challenge. It all gets underway tonight in Sportsnet, beginning at 7 o'clock. Couple of games last night in Boston. The Celtics hosted the Clippers. Defense taking a holiday in this one.
Tatum, nasty step back on Shamet. Creates room, drives, forces it up and in over Harrell. And the foul. Jason Tatum, takeover. 39 and counting. Timeout, Doc Rivers.
Jason Tatum finishing up with 39. The Celtics 141-133 win. The Clippers' Paul George leaving this one in the first half with a hammy injury. Not sure how this affects his All-Star game status. In New Orleans, the Pelicans were hosting the Thunder. OKC won at 123-118. A victory that included Steven Adams' first career three-pointer, and it was a doozy.
Now, no fouls. It'll be Steven Adams.
They give Steven Adams some...
And the one-hander from half court.
Wow. I was going to say, that's Steven the second Adams. Percentage buster that they've given him.
I couldn't do that if I tried it 100 times or 1,000 times. Zion Williamson, by the way, finished up with 32 in the loss. Tennis, Vasek Pospisil taken out in the round of 16 in Rotterdam, 6-4, 7-6 by Filip Krajinovic. Felix Auger-Aliassime plays the quarterfinals today. Matt Kuchar, 7-under-64. He leads the first round of the Genesis Invitational, 3-up in a group of 5. Tiger Woods, 2-under, 5-back. Top Canuck, Corey Connors at -1. Myles Garrett reinstated by the NFL earlier this week after serving a 6-game suspension for swinging his helmet at Steelers QB Mason Rudolph. During an interview with ESPN's Mina Kimes, Garrett insisted the incident was sparked by Rudolph's use of a racial slur.
I mean, he called me the N-word. He called me a stupid N-word. I don't say the N-word, whether it's, you know, with A, E-R. To me personally, it just shouldn't be said. And whether it's known by family, friends, anyone.
Rudolph says he never used the word. On the station today, lead off with Ashley Ziggy and Scotty Mack as Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman at 8. Sirius XM NBA host Mitch Lawrence on at 8:30. And on Good Show today, former MLB executive David Sampson at 11:25.
Time for the Extra Point.
Let's talk about Bieber. We all know that Justin Bieber's a pretty talented guy. He sings, he dances, he acts. You know what? He's also a pretty darn good hockey player. He laced him up with Tonight Show host Jimmy Fallon, and this happened.
Why don't we do backhand shots and backhanded compliments, okay?
Sure, why not? Have you lost weight? You look a lot better than the last time I seen you.
Really like your mustache. I love that it's not quite skeevy.
We're going head to head, stick to stick.
Don't say that.
Head to head or stick to stick?
Neither.
Thanks to a huge Bieber fan, producer Hayden Matthewson, and Fallon fanboy, technical producer Alan Andrew Holland. Sorry, Alan, whatever your name is. Most of all, thank you for listening to The Scoreboard with Hugh Burrell. If you missed any part of this or you want to listen in on your way into work, just download us anywhere you find your favorite podcast. Happy Valentine's Day. Have yourself a fantastic Friday.